You're listening to the audio production of Many Paths, A Poet's Journey Through Love, Death, and Wall Street by Bruce McEver, published by CNR Press. Bruce will be reading sections of his poetry throughout this book, as well as the first two chapters. You'll also hear from him at the very end, in the afterword, and acknowledgments. The rest of this audiobook will be read to you by Howard Baxter. Please note that the photos and captions in the print edition of Many Paths have been made available to you in a PDF that accompanies this audiobook.
Yet isn't it a miracle, the oddity of consciousness being placed in one body rather than another, in one place and not somewhere else, in one handful of decades rather than in ancient Egypt or the Ob River Valley in the days of woolly mammoths? Billions of consciousnesses, silt history full, and every one of them the center of the universe. What can we do in the face of this unthinkable truth but scream or take refuge in God? Self-Consciousness, Memoirs, John Updike. Chapter 1, Augury. Some days are steeled in memory. On a cold, clear morning in November 2000, I was at the top of my game. I'd grown up in Red Dirt, Georgia, and was now running in Central Park under the spires of Manhattan, confident I knew how to get to the top of some of them. Like Rocky Balboa, I bounded up the stairs of the Natural History Museum in sweats toward the rear end of the statue of Teddy Roosevelt seated on his horse. There I found a pigeon who seemed to be mourning over another bundle of gray-blue feathers lying in an empty corner. It was flapping its wings and cooing, trying to gather up its partner, bringing it back to consciousness. Finally, it was shaken from its task by my presence and flew off, leaving the sad bundle of a former mate with what looked like a broken neck. I mused on this scene for weeks, not knowing what spirit or randomness put it in my path. Ancient Romans who interpreted omens from the flight of birds were called augurs, but this signal was beyond me that morning. A few weeks later, at year-end on Wall Street, it was time for bonuses, when the all-important pie is cut up among the partners. The scramble for funds was sometimes nasty, preceded by a certain amount of puffery for deal credits, usually adding up to over 100%. Running a firm, a financial gauntlet thrown down by my wife's stepfather when courting her, stuck in my mind. "Have you ever met a payroll?" he asked, as a test of real economic arrival. This year, I was not only going to meet the payroll for about 40 people, but raise salaries and pay bonuses. We were an investment banker's investment banker, and in the middle of the action at the core of the economy. The numbers were in, showing we had a record year, and I had bonuses of over several million to hand out. However, what was always remarkable to me about this process was the hubris of those who received such sums, the expressions of resentment and dissatisfaction with whatever was rewarded. We had assembled a great team, but it was only my original partner, Bruce Cameron, who ever thanked me or expressed any gratitude for what he received. Looking beyond the satisfaction of building a business and the bounty we'd reaped, my attitude toward work and what I was building soured around these issues of compensation and greed. This year proved no different, and after a less than inspiring morning handing out more than we'd ever made, I called my wife, Georgia, to say I was coming home that Thursday evening, a day early, the day before Christmas Eve. I asked her to please make a dinner reservation and to order a bottle of champagne. She reported there was snow in Salisbury, Connecticut, the little town we lived in on weekends. That meant a white Christmas. We'd gotten lucky this year, choosing to spend the holiday there rather than with our parents in the South.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?